clause applies exclusively to the Department of State, and it was written into the law in 1990, and it requires specifically that with respect to local guard contracts at Foreign Service buildings, that the Department of State must use technically acceptable lowest price techniques in order to award its contracts. And that's what's at the heart of this special report that we've just issued from the Commission on Wartime Contracting. Our conclusion is basically that lowest price security is not good enough for war zone embassies.
And is it your conclusion that the Armor Group, under other circumstances, might not have been hired?
Well, I think at this stage of the game, what we're concluding is that if a different contracting technique had been used, any company could have used a different approach. And if that different approach had been used, there could have been greater emphasis on management oversight, on quality, on a number of critical components that really do relate to the important job of providing security for our embassies overseas.
So when you say a different approach, you mean hiring a higher quality of personnel or having more personnel in an oversight capacity?
Well, that's exactly right. If you're not using low bid, technically acceptable techniques, you're introducing the possibility then that the government can ensure a more qualified workforce. They can ensure that contractors don't have a contract vehicle which almost compels them to at least look at squeezing every last cent out of the contract in a way that they're skimping on quality or the need for quality materials or equipment, that kind of thing. Or hiring poor subcontractors. I mean, in certain cases, this kind of low bid, technically acceptable approach doesn't work well. And clearly, in the case of providing security in some of the highest threat posts in the world, we have an example of it.
Now, is there any indication, as you've reviewed this, that the State Department itself has a problem with this lowest price clause?
Well, we had testimony from the leadership at the State Department indicating at our recent hearing on this very topic that the best value standard was, in fact, the preferred method of contracting, which allows then for all of these other quality and experience factors to receive more consideration. And just as many of us in our own buying choices do, we often make trade-offs about quality and experience and other factors when we make a decision. Things often, that's the best way to handle them.
Now, is the State Department unique in having this? And was there a reason why in 1990 they put this lowest price clause into their contracting requirements?
Well, you know, the world has kind of changed since 1990. At the time, this applied to local guard contracts at overseas buildings. And in many parts of the world, the requirements were small. And basically, they hope the posts or the embassies could handle these requirements in a way that worked. What we're doing by this report is recommending that state be placed on the same playing field as every other federal agency and every other contractor. This restriction was specifically designed for state in 1990. Not only did it provide for low bid technically acceptable, but it also prescribed a number of other preference factors and evaluation factors, which we're not addressing as part of our report. We're just focusing on the low bid technically acceptable piece. So it's an exclusive issue that was raised many years ago, long before we had major security issues like we do in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We're talking this morning to Bob Dixon, Executive Director of the Commission on Wartime Contracting, about the State Department's issue with their lowest price clause provision that may have led to hiring of Armor Group in Afghanistan and the reports of lurid behavior, et cetera, that came as a result. So can you explain what that would mean, that they would be hiring on the basis of the best value versus lowest price? How does that equate in contracting?
Well, best value allows contracting officers under the right circumstances to evaluate other factors besides price and minimum technical acceptability. That allows them to consider the past performance of the contractor, the quality of the work that they do, the management expertise that they bring, the technical approach, the experience of key personnel, which is vital in some of these contracts in terms of overseeing large-scale security operations involving hundreds and hundreds of people in a high-threat post. It allows the contracting officer to consider all of those risks and management-related factors and basically identify the best company that's able to handle all of that, and then select that company based on all of those factors, including price. You know, they're still going to look at price, and they're still going to look at basically the total package, but part of it allows them to consider all these other factors I just mentioned.
And when you consider all those other factors, is past performance also one of those considerations? Because that could that disqualify the so-called lowest price contractor?
Well, it could technically, I guess, but past performance is absolutely an important factor for contracting officers to consider. If that past performance was done by low bid contractors who failed to perform their contract, then obviously that could restrict or limit their ability to win the next award.
But Mr. Dixon, this probably puts the agency in a position, if they're not totally comfortable with the contractor that they need, that they will need to give the contract to, looking for ways to disqualify them on other basis rather than just, you know, awarding it to the company they think is most capable of doing it.
Well, the standards are well established, Jane, for basically the rules and procedures that contracting officers have to follow. And if, in fact, the best value approach is set up properly in a contract, it allows the contracting officer to fairly deal with all of these topics and make the right decision.
So what's the possibility that this would be changed, and what would be the process involved? Is it a congressional decision?
Yes. Well, the commission is an independent, bipartisan congressional commission, and we've issued this report shortly after the hearing that we just held. Clearly, we want to go on record as a commission and indicate to the Congress that we believe that there's a need to change this piece of the law. We think that the recommendation that we've made is that we place the Department of State on the same level playing field as every other government agency and allow them to use the full range of contract techniques to include, in some places, technically acceptable low bid when it fits, but also to give them the flexibility to make other choices on best value if that fits.
And are members of Congress sympathetic to this point of view?
Well, I think there's been a tremendous amount of interest in the work of the commission. There's been a tremendous amount of support from the Congress. We've gone on record and shared this, and we're hopeful that in the near term that action will be taken.
Well, the State Department has a pretty strong advocate in Secretary Clinton, mm-hmm. and she may have a little sway with some of her former colleagues in the Senate to get this changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how that plays out, Jane.
Very, very diplomatic of you, Mr. Dixon. Thanks so much for joining us today to talk about this.
Thank you so much.